You'll turn to, you can turn in your bulletin if you like. We're going to look at Psalm 46, and the text is printed there, but you're certainly welcome to look in your Bible or your device and follow along. We'll be looking at Psalm 46, verses, particularly verses 4 through 7 this morning. Children who may be wanting to draw pictures or something, this is going to be very easy today. It's just going to have to be a city sitting on a hill and some kind of a river flowing through that city. So it's very simple. I think Terry Clark can even get this one. So. All right, Psalm 46. I want to begin reading at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And again, let's pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, we do turn to you and specifically ask for your Holy Spirit to come and enlighten our minds and hearts, to speak to us through the words that we find printed in our Bibles and in the bulletin, your holy word that is inerrant and is completely sufficient for our life today, and we pray that you would graciously take this word and so work in us, that we would realize who you are and who we are in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. When this whole stay-at-home and social distancing thing started, there were a lot of voices affirming something that we all needed to be reminded of, that our building is not the church. We are the church. We don't just come to church, we are the church. The church is us, we the people of the living God who are in Christ. And whether we get to see each other or sit together or sing together, doesn't really detract from our basic identity as God's children saved by sovereign grace. And yet, as true as all of that is, are there not some wonderful things that happen when we do come together? Don't we all feel a huge void and emptiness inside when we miss out and miss coming on a Sunday morning worship service? And for those of you watching and participating from home, isn't there something that you still long for and would love to participate in? The main message of Psalm 46 is stated right up front. It's in verse 1. You can't miss it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then this idea gets repeated twice in the psalm, verse 7, and again in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, last week we looked at the first three verses of this psalm, and I wanted to remind you of all that God is for you. God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. the God who is always with us, even when we find ourselves in trouble, even when we get ourselves into big trouble. And I wanted to challenge you to respond as we see here in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how chaotic things become, even if everything around us seems to be coming apart and slipping into the heart of the sea, we will not fear because of who our God is. The psalmist now wants to take this a step further. And he's going to say the same thing, but he's going to change the picture because he wants to make sure that we get it, that we understand this. And so he goes from talking about earth and sea and mountains and a God who helps us to talking about a city and a river and the joy that comes in the morning. We will not fear because of who our God is, and we will not fear because we are citizens of God's city, and God himself is with us. And so let's look at this new picture. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's a city. It's a place where people live, where they gather together to live as one. All have something in common. They've all agreed to live and to work together. They pledge their allegiance to one another and they embrace each other as fellow citizens. It's a city. It's what a city is supposed to be. The city is here on earth. And earth is where all of our problems happen. The earth sometimes gives way. Mountains sometimes move and they slip into the sea. Tropical storms, flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes. Disease invades our bodies. If it's not the coronavirus, it's cancer. High blood pressure, heart attacks. I mean, this is all a part of Earth. This is where the city is located on Earth. This is where you and I live. The city is surrounded by other nations and kingdoms, and these can often prove to be hostile or unstable. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. That reminds me of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The Assyrians, the Medes and the Persians, the Babylonians, Nero and his Roman Empire, Stalin and his Soviet Union, Adolf Hitler, his Third Reich. Each one roars and rages against God and against God's city. Each one eventually totters and slips into the sea. And when morning dawns, what do you see? There's the city of God is still there. He utters his voice. That's poetic language for God thunders. All of a sudden there's a bolt of thunder. Children, you can draw that into the picture. Here comes a bolt of thunder out of the heavens to disperse the nations. He utters his voice, and the hostile forces of earth melt away. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Clearly, there's no question as to which one is more powerful. Is it earth? Or is it heaven? You know, the political forces of this world or the kingdom of heaven. And so Psalm 29 ends, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood, that is, over the chaotic sea. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The God who thunders against the hostile forces of this world is the God who strengthens this city and gives a deep and abiding peace to the citizens of this city. And then, most importantly, what is true of this city is it's God's city. God founded this city, and he filled this city with all kinds of men, women, and children of his choosing. Chosen before the foundation of the earth, called out of darkness and called into his kingdom of light, called and gathered together to be his beloved people. The city belongs to God, and he himself lives there. This city is the place where you and I can most clearly see God and his kingdom and his rule on earth. I mean, the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is his, the fullness thereof. But it's here in this city, on this holy mountain, that God's presence is best known and God's goodness is best experienced. So it's a place of happiness. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's a place of holiness. Again, verse 4, the holy habitation of the Most High. It's a safe place. It's a hiding place. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And it is the place where people find real help. Again, verse 5, God will help her when morning dawns. She shall not be moved. She will not fall. Not because her citizens are so smart and strong and nice looking, but because God is in the midst of her, God who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I think you can recognize the reality of what the psalmist is talking about, can't you? He's talking about the church. He's talking about the gathering of God's people, God's covenant people, the people of God, whether they're living in the Old Testament or living in the New Testament. It's us today. It's this congregation gathered together, called out of the world, called to live as one, baptized and sealed and marked out as God's own people. We've pledged our allegiance to our King. We are members together of the body of Christ. In the language of the Apostle Paul, no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. It's that city. And we're going to sing and celebrate this wonderful picture in truth at the end of our service with those words from John Newton. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Don't forget that thee in that sentence is not God. It is the city. It is Zion. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. It's a hymn that is describing us as God's people, as the church. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode, on the rock of ages founded. What can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, let's zoom in and take a little closer look at one feature of this city, and what I want you to see is this river. Again, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In the Hebrew text, the word river comes first. It's there for emphasis. The line could be translated simply by saying, a river that makes glad the city of God. The idea is, behold, look at this, a river. Psalmist doesn't want you to miss this. What he's saying is, don't just look at the sea that's around you. Don't just look at the crazy and chaotic and threatening sea that is out there that could drown you, but look, here comes a river. Clear water, gently flowing down from Mount Zion, irrigating and refreshing the whole city. A river that brings joy, gladness to the citizens of the city. Streams that bring fruitfulness, fullness of life, watering the land, supplying everything that is delightful and necessary, quenching the thirst of each and every citizen of that city. I mean, no wonder people are glad. This is everything we need right here in this city, with this river flowing right through the midst. Again, what's the spiritual reality there? Very simply, it's a picture of God's grace, the means of grace flowing out to all of us as Christians. And again, John Newton got this. He understood this as he wrote that same hymn. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint with such a river? Ever flows their thirst to sage. Grace. You can underline that in your bulletin. Great, because that's the answer. These streams of living water, this river, it's grace, which just like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Sovereign grace, always flowing, like a stream of living waters, refreshing God's children. And you see this picture all through the Bible from beginning to end. Genesis 2, it's a river that is flowing out of Eden to water the garden. Psalm 1, the man who meditates on God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. John Calvin says on this verse, the children of God constantly flourish and are always watered with the secret influences of divine grace. You know, the man's meditating on the word of God, and streams of grace are flowing from the scriptures into the life of the believer. Ezekiel 47, the prophet sees this vision. He sees the temple, and there's this little trickle of water that's coming out from underneath the door of the temple, and the further it begins to go, it becomes a river, and as the river flows, the water becomes fresh, and animals and fish and the plants and the trees around it. It's like, kind of like Wizard of Oz, right? You know, it starts out black and white, you know, but as this water is flowing, everything, all of a sudden, it's colorized. Everything is coming to life. Jesus in the Gospel of John said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart flow what? Rivers of living water. And then the passage that we read this morning, Revelation 22, a picture that is unbelievably beautiful. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Each of these pictures, in one way or another, is showing us the life-giving and life-sustaining grace of God flowing into the city of God and satisfying the people of God. Friends, in one very real sense, we don't come to church, we are the church. The church is not a building. It's the people, it's us, and wherever we are, and whether we get to see each other or sit together or sing together, it still doesn't detract from our identity in Christ and as citizens of this city. But there is something unique that happens when we do get together. God's grace can flow anywhere. God is powerful enough to cause his grace to flow through cyberspace and on the internet and to touch people in so many different ways. And we should be thankful for that. But this is the place where God has promised to cause his river to flow. This is where the Bible says you can find the grace of God flowing. Here, you and I will experience God's means of grace. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, just to put it plainly, what do you miss when you can't come to church? I'm sure that was a good answer, whatever. But what do you miss when you can't come to church? What gift does God have for us here? And what we have been longing for and have missed since March 15th when we last met? Well, here's a list of things, and I think probably the most obvious is fellowship. And fellowship is a gift. It is a means of God's grace. And I think most of you have felt this void in your own life during this strange time of social distancing. Even for an introvert like me, you know, I have felt lost without you. Hebrews 10:25, you know, it's the verse that says, do not forsake the assembling together, but encourage one another. You turn that around, and what it is telling you is when we meet together, we encourage one another. Fellowship is a means of grace. Singing together. I could sing at home. I don't want to hear myself sing. I want to hear you sing. And it's not just because your voices are so good, it's because you've got something to say that I need to hear. And that's a means of grace, and it takes place when we gather together. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, how's that going to happen? Paul says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We sing to God, but you see what Paul is saying. At that same time as we are singing to God, we are teaching and admonishing one another. Our singing, in a sense, is us putting our arms around each other as we sing together God's praise. Absolution. I mean, we know that God forgives us. You know, you don't have to say it all the time, right? You don't have to tell your wife that you love her. It's so much better when it gets said, isn't it? Absolution, that God forgives us. All by ourselves, alone at home, we can confess our sins and know that we're forgiven. But God wants us to hear that. He wants us to hear it said, ministered to us. A minister, a man standing in God's place, speaking on behalf of God, saying, your sins are forgiven. Not just that there is forgiveness with God, but your sins are forgiven. You confess, you come, believing the gospel. Your sins are forgiven. You are released from your sins. Matthew 16, Jesus calls this the keys of the kingdom, to proclaim that your sins are forgiven. The offering. It's just not the same, is it? Give online, mail in a check. I mean, there's something that you feel, there's something that you sense. It's a part of worship. It's a means of grace to be able to come into the sanctuary with God's people, not showing off, but, you know, here I am in God's presence and I'm going to offer to God what I want to give him. 2 Corinthians 8, twice in that chapter, Paul calls this an act of grace, and it's a work that relieves the suffering of saints. Public reading and preaching of God's word. Yes, there's sermonaudio.com, and we're very thankful for that. And it's a necessity in the life of our church and so many churches, audio and now video. And I think it's going to be an asset, a necessity for us in years to come. But to be here in a live setting, surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to hear God's word. Paul instructs Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Sacrament of the Lord's table loses all of its significance if it's not done together. Three times, 1 Corinthians 11, when talking about the Lord's Supper, Paul says, when you come together, the divine benediction at the end of the service, God's word spoken by God's servant, assuring you of God's presence as you go out. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now let's be clear in closing. It's not the church building. It's not the church gathering. It's not the church worship service that provides all of this grace that you need for life. It's not the city. I mean, even though glorious things can be said of this city, it's not the city. It's not even the river that gives us all that God has. It is God himself. And these are means of grace. The city, the church, the congregation, the gathered people of God only has life and meaning because of verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And the river, the streams of living water only produce fruit and fullness of life because they spring from eternal love, from the God of grace and mercy and love. And so here we are, last Sunday of May, of what has been probably the most unusual year many of us have seen. There was a little picture on Facebook, I'm going off on a tangent here, woman outside, and it said, I have to go outside and look and see what chapter of Revelation we're doing today. You know, plague, war, famine, whatever it is. I mean, you get to feel like that. And we have to be honest, as we look down the road for the rest of this year, the earth may give way. Mountains may slip into the heart of the sea. The sea may roar and foam. Nations may rage and kingdoms totter. Within our own nation, we may come apart at the seams. Economies may collapse, businesses go under, people be out of work, people struggle with all kinds of physical and emotional problems and be seasons of real pain and suffering. And you and I can respond pretty poorly at times, can't we? I mean, just like you see in the Psalms, that's the value of the Psalms, is you get to hear and read the experience of how people are responding to what's going on around them, and it's not always a pretty picture. You know, we can fret, we become frustrated, worried, anxious, fearful, we can get angry, we can lose patience with people, we can say things that we should never say, and we can have people say things to us that should never be said. And yet what God says is forever true. God's word. His church, his city, the church of Jesus Christ, you who by grace are members of this city, you will never fall. This is our confidence, this is our stability, this is our identity. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you in faith. We turn to you in love. We turn to you and submit ourselves to you. Into your hands we commend our body and soul and all that is ours. And we ask that you be the God that you have said that you are, our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble, and that you would help us to understand what it means to be citizens of this glorious city and to have access to this wonderful river that brings us everything we need for life and for godliness. Father, take this word and so work it deep in our minds and hearts that all through this coming week we'll be able to reflect upon it and to pray through it and to believe it for ourselves and for our loved ones. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.